Hey, good morning, everyone. This is the Pillage Pastor. Welcome to another episode of the Pillage Pastor, where we continue our devotional study through the Gospel of John, making our observations and applications for the day the best part of my day. I hope it's the best part of your day as well when you're spending time with God. So stay tuned. Let's go there. You know, this time should be a refreshing time. You wake up in the morning, I don't know, maybe you have the opportunity when you're preparing to sleep, but meeting with God, being in His Word, giving an opportunity for Him to speak to you, apart from all the noise and the chaos, the problem is we can never escape our brain. We can't escape the things that are rolling around in our head, that roller coaster in the morning as we prepare for our day or as you're just waking up. I know I'm not alone in that. I can't be, but it's a gorgeous day out. I'm not really looking forward to the day and the events of the day. All the work that I have to put into this day, sometimes motivated for, sometimes not. And I imagine this man, Jesus, this God man, all God, all man, walking on the earth, interacting with people. He had his own struggles. He had his own concerns. He had his own worries. And yet he had an amazing hope because he and the Father were one. He could relate with us. He could relate with our temptations. He needed to break away and to get away just as much as we do. And he sets that example for us to get away, spend some time with him, get amped for the day. You don't always have to feel all great. You don't always have to feel all cheery and happy. But God definitely wants you to have peace and a joy that is sustaining for your life. So picking back up in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 20. Now some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. And they said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." And Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Now, why these guys went to Philip, I don't know. Was there a connection? Maybe because of his name, having a Greek name, Philip, I don't know. But they find Philip. They know Philip has been with Jesus. And they're like, "Please, we want to know this guy. We've heard all about him, perhaps. We want to hear more." Jesus replies, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." That's what needs to happen with every single one of us. That's why we need to, in coming to Jesus, be willing to die to ourselves, be buried, that old man buried. You can't really be all that God wants you to be until you die to yourself. Even saying that phrase, that quote, you know, be all you can be in the army, it's the same kind of idea. The first thing they do is strip you of all your own ideas, yourself, break you down as much as possible in order to build you up into who they want you and need you to be for the benefit of so many others. It's the same in coming into the family of God, yet it's an eternal quest, right? It's an eternal quest. It's a life lived in light of eternity, storing up treasures in heaven. Looking forward to that day when you're going to see that all that effort, all that pain, that suffering, that sacrifice, that time lived here, it was worth it. It was meaningful. I don't want to live an unmeaningful life. If God has to kind of strip everything away, you know, and bury that old man, bury that old Ryan, you know, God bless him. Do it. Because that's what needs to happen, even if it's going to be painful, even if it's going to require great sacrifice. I woke up this morning and I'm thinking there's so many things that I love to do that aren't good for me. They're not healthy for me. They're going to get me nowhere. In fact, they will steal from me. They will take from me. On a daily basis, the enemy puts things before us and says, here, I've got a meal prepared for you. If you eat, enjoy, you'll be happy. If you partake of this, if you get yourself involved in that, if you just go after that, you know, that thing that's you're constantly struggling and just give into it, then you'll be happy. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie. It's all allegiance to him by way of enticing those things that just don't work out. They're not good for you. They're not part of God's plan for you. God is saying, listen, even if you're making a momentary sacrifice, you go on into eternity where you can't even imagine what I've prepared for you there. It's going to be insanely incredible, right? Those who love their life in this world, they will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Now, that doesn't mean you need to be a self-hater. To care nothing for your life in this world does not mean that you need to be a downer, a self-hater, a mutilator of the flesh. Verse 26, anyone who wants to serve must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. You got to stay with me, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Man, listen, if you want to be on mission for God, that doesn't mean getting your mission and then running off. No, you're staying right beside Jesus. Your primary responsibility, your goal, your purpose in life is to love God. Stay close to Jesus. You're not going to miss out on a thing, right? You don't have to wonder so often, like, what's my calling in life? Your calling is to love God. That's what it comes down to. Your calling is to stay close to Jesus. You know, you don't have to go out. Don't go after and worship a purpose. So many people go after and worship a purpose, a meaning, want meaning. You want meaning? Link up with your God. He is meaning. He is your inheritance. He's the only relationship you need. He's the only one that can give you direction that has eternal impact, that echoes in eternity. The things that you do. Now, my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray? Father, save me from this hour. But this is the very reason I came. Father, bring glory to your name. There's so many things on a daily basis I want to pray for God to deliver me from. There's been times in ministry, full-time ministry, I'm just like, I don't want to do this. This is so hard. It's so hurtful. I don't know what to do. I don't have the wisdom. I don't know how to manage this responsibility. I want out of it. But you know what? God says, hey, you're on mission with me. Endure it. Go through it. This is what I have you here for, to love me, be obedient to me, to serve me. And you know what? Serving, I thought serving Jesus my whole life in ministry would be like awesome. Man, always pumped up, always filled with the Holy Spirit. God telling you how to deal with everything, all your troubles, like you just go to God and you're just like, man, I'm dealing with this, God. What is it? And he just immediately tells you, like, okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's the game plan. It's not like that. Never was, never will be until we're in eternity. And that's okay. If he gave you the immediate answers every single time, how would that set you up for independence when we are meant to be dependent beings? In his image, serving him, loving him, seeing him come through, our character being shaped throughout life and the crud that it throws our way. Then a voice spoke from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name and I will do so again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. Everyone, not just a few, Jesus says. This is verse 32. I'm going to be lifted up on the cross, and I'm going to draw everyone to myself. If you look to me, you're going to live. You look to me, you believe in me, you're going to have eternal life. I'm going to draw everyone to myself. God loves the whole world is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of him, a saving knowledge of him. Pretty incredible. But I love that verse for that reason. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. The crowd responded, "We understand from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. How can you say the Son of Man will die? Just who is this Son of Man anyway?" Jesus replied, "My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they're going. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light." So he's answering this in somewhat of a roundabout way. Like, what is he talking about? That is true. Like, the Messiah is supposed to live forever. So what's he talking about? How can he say then the Son of Man, who is, that's another name, if you will, another identifying factor in this whole Messiah, the promise of a Messiah, the Son of Man, a representative of man. He's going to die. Like, and yet they're looking and saying, well, everything we know about the Messiah in Scripture, from Scripture, says he's not going to die. So what's going on? Let's take a break and come back to that. Now, at times I have found that quite confusing myself. But here's some things to consider. Some things that I consider when I think about this. It's like the Messiah was supposed to live forever. So what's going on? You keep talking about your death. You know, prior to entering in this triumphant entry during the Passover, prior to going in, remember, he is anointed by Mary, who washes his feet with her hair, with this expensive perfume that goes throughout the whole house, choking everyone out. There's this anointing that happens, this recognition that this is God's anointed, the Messiah. And he is being prepared to die for our sins. And this was hard to wrap your head around when he would talk about dying. For everybody, his disciples, the crowd, the priests, the teachers, the people, the Greeks that were here now. And Jesus is talking about this Son of Man, and he has identified himself as the Son of Man, which kind of brings us back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. And in verse 13 through 14 of the seventh chapter of Daniel, we read, "As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and sovereignty over all the nations of the world." Well, given that, just like if you die, you can't be given that, right? So it can't be Jesus can't be the Son of Man if he's going to go to the cross. "So that people of every race and nation and language would obey him." Everybody, not just one people group. He wouldn't just be the Messiah of the Hebrew people. "His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed." So how can that be the case if he's fulfilling this prophecy? If people do see the Messiah, the Son of Man, interchangeable terms, yet with distinction, how can he be the Son of Man? How can he be the Messiah? Well, recall what happens, not, of course, just in the death and resurrection of Jesus, but what immediately follows after that. He does establish a kingdom that will never end. But this idea of relating with us, having become flesh, having experienced things the way we experience them without sin, having been tempted yet without having sinned, all of these ways that he connects with man, all of these ways that he represented who man was and was always supposed to be from the time of Adam He, Jesus, the perfect man, the God-man. And he would go into eternity. He has a glorified, resurrected, glorified body in the state where he is today. He is eternal, and he continues to rule today through his people by way of the Holy Spirit, who is tabernacled in every believer. The house of God is his people. We are sealed by the very Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that fell on the day of Pentecost and came. And Jesus said, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're going to be baptized into my family. And you're going to be filled with the Spirit. You're going to be empowered to do my works and to join me in what I'm doing and to make an impact, the impact that I would make if I was physically present here on the earth. So in that sense, no, he has never died. His kingdom continues. His dominion continues through his people. The presence of Jesus Christ is still here by way of the Holy Spirit, and he will physically return again, and we will again see his physical glory. Matter of fact, everybody's going to see him. Everybody, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess when he returns in the same way that he left. And so, no, he is not dead, people. They put him down. What happened? 3 days later, he rose from the dead. They could not kill the man. And he goes on to live today. We might not have him physically, tangibly, where we can grab hold of him and shake him and bear hug him here on the earth, but he's very present with us. And so in one way, people say, well, he's not here and he promised to be here, this Messiah. Well, he is here. He is very present. Death could not hold him down. And so there's a distinction there. You know, he didn't die. He's not physically, tangibly here, and yet he was very present with his people, and he didn't die. This is the way it's going to be. However, it's just for a small period of time before he returns again, and he establishes a physical, literal kingdom here on the earth. With that being said, that's an encouragement to me. I'm encouraged just by the fact that I can know him today, and that he'll walk with me and go with me today wherever I go. And I hope that my response is the same. I will go with you. I will walk with you wherever you will go. I want to be sensitive to your leading, sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And by way of the Holy Spirit indwelling in me and me not quenching the Holy Spirit, quenching the Spirit's fire in my life, I can know him even more every day and experience him daily. Power can be at work in my life, and I can truly make an impact in this life and see the results of that in the life to come. Pretty cool stuff. This is the Pillage Pastor. Grace come down for such a sinner as I and for such a sinner as you.